الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Within the path of developing our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are certain principles that, if you keep them in mind, they allow you to progress much more rapidly than you might do so without taking heed of these points. So we have this path, and that's the path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day you take the shahada, you end up on that path, and that's called the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And then for the rest of your life, you travel down that path step by step by step. Now, sometimes you move more quickly, and other sometimes you may even move backwards. But the point is that there are certain principles that, if you keep them in mind, they allow you to move on that path at a quicker pace. For example, ittiba' sunnah, following the sunnah. When you inculcate the sunnah in your life, that acts as sort of extra fuel to allow you to progress more quickly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's because the sunnah is the means that's the most pleasing to Allah, and that was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, along the same lines, there is another principle that you should keep in mind, and that is humility. The person who has humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person will be able to move with a very, very rapid pace in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is beautifully exemplified. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, while he was sitting on the floor and eating, explained to the companions that he sits on the floor and he eats because he is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's more appropriate for a servant. And in fact, in one hadith it said, "Amma ana fala a'qilu muttaqian." As for me, I don't eat reclined back. Meaning, kings, they sit on high thrones, and they sit reclined back, and they eat as if they are rulers. But the Prophet, he preferred to eat as a servant, because his primary status in this world was the fact that he was Abdullah, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, you find this in the lives of the Sahaba. Umar radiallahu anhu used to make a dua, "Oh Allah, make me small in the eyes of my own eyes, and make me big in the eyes of others." Meaning, let me be humble when I look at myself, yet let other people think of me as someone who is raised. And the reason why is because he was a da'i towards Islam. So if people saw him as someone to be respected, then they would follow him. And within himself, he wanted to decrease any pride that might sneak in, and so he asked to be seen as low in his own eyes. Similarly, if you look at the history of our ulama, on one particular occasion in India, there are many of in the past century, there have been a whole series of great ulama. In India, there was a tradition of having debates with different religions. And so what they would do, especially like 100 years back, is that they would have these big, big debates in different cities. And there would be a Hindu, and there would be an atheist, and then there would be a Muslim, and they would have a debate in front of the people, and they would see who would be able to win the debate. And the people would come and listen to these debates. And many people actually became Muslim because of these debates. So on one occasion, the ulama of Hind, the ulama of India, were sitting together, and they were trying to decide how they're going to represent themselves at the next debate. And among them was someone whose name was Maulana Qasim Nanotri, who's one of the greatest mountains of knowledge from among the ulama of India. So they selected him to be the representative at the debate. The day of the debate, he was supposed to take a train to get to the debate, and the Muslims of that town were supposed to meet him at the train station. So as he was on the train, he began thinking in his mind that if I go to the train station, then the Muslims of that town will be there to greet me. That I am not the type of person that deserves to be greeted. I'm not of that caliber. So what he decided was that he would get off the train one stop early and then walk 4 miles in the dead heat to get to the place where the debate would be, because he didn't feel he was worthy enough to be greeted at the train station. So when he got off the train, he began walking, and as he was walking, he had to walk through actually some rough water. There was a place where there was water. His pants got wet. He had to tie a shirt. Actually, he tried to tie a fat piece of cloth over his waist. He had his shirt, hanging from his back, drying. And, I mean, you think about this. This is one of the ambassadors of Islam. Literally, at that time, he was going as an ambassador of Islam. And think about how ambassadors go nowadays. But he was traveling in such a humble way. And so finally he went and he checked into a hotel in the city where he was supposed to be, and the people at the train station were shocked that he didn't get off the train. And so they began to worry and they started thinking, what will we do now? How will we be able to find him? We must have missed him. He had to be on this train. We must have just missed him because we spoke to the people. We got a message from the people where he left that he actually did depart. So they began to search the few hotels within the city, and they finally found that in one hotel there was a person named Khurshid Ahmad. And Khurshid Ahmad was actually the birth name of Maulana Qasim Nanotvi. And so one of the teachers of Maulana Qasim Nanotvi recognized that was his official register name. And they went and they knocked on the door and they found him there and they said, Hazrat, we came to greet you at the train station, but you didn't show up there. And he said that, well, I wasn't worthy of being greeted by anybody. And so that's why I didn't show up. And then he said a very, very, very beautiful line. He said, I read a few words, and people have recognized it. Otherwise, I would have crushed my nafs so much that no one would even know that I walked on the face of this earth. So this was the sign of humility within our ulama. On one particular occasion, a man came to visit one of the mashayikh in a madrasa. And he knocked on the door, and when the door was opened, he said, I'm here to visit Sheikh al-Hadith. I'm here to visit Sheikh al-Hind. So the person who was the scholar who was he was going to visit Sheikh al-Hind. And so when the person opened the door, he said, okay, I can inform the Sheikh that you're here, and I'll tell him that you've come. But while you're waiting, let me go ahead and, you must be tired, let me feed you some food and let me take care of you. So the person agreed. So he quickly began to lay out the dasturkhan with all the food, and he put out all the food for this visitor, and then he said, okay, now that you've eaten, let me clean up, whatever's left here, and why don't you take a short nap? The sheikh will be with you shortly. So he said, okay. So while he was taking a nap, then the servant began pressing his legs and making sure that he was very comfortable. And finally, then the person began to get very upset. It had been hours, and he said, well, what's going on? I came to meet Sheikh al-Hind. So when the servant saw that he had gotten very upset, he said, well, if you're here to meet Sheikh al-Hind, then know that there is no such person as Sheikh al-Hind in this particular building. But if you're here to meet Qasim Nanotvi, then I'm him. So he was actually the Sheikh himself, but he actually served this guest because he wanted to lower himself in front of that particular guest, because the guest came saying, I'm here to meet the Sheikh of all of India. And so he became humble, and he lowered himself in front of that particular person. On another occasion, Maulana Ashraf Ali Tanwar, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, he's a very, very famous scholar in our tradition. In fact, he's written over 5,000 books, and some of them are so deep with knowledge. I mean, this is the type of scholar that no matter who you go to, when you say his name, everybody bows in respect to this man. That's how deep his scholarship was. So on one occasion, this was the graduation of Maulana Ashraf Ali Tanwar Sahib. So it was the day of their graduation, and he and all of the students of the madrasa went to the dean of the madrasa. And these were some of the greatest students in the history of that madrasa, and they went there crying. And they said to the dean that we have heard that you are organizing our graduation for today. But let me tell you that if you graduate us, and me in particular, that will be the biggest disrespect that could ever happen to the madrasa, because we are not qualified to be graduated from your madrasa. We are so low and so unworthy of this honor that we are not qualified to be graduated from this madrasa. So please, we beg you, all of us students beg you that you cancel this graduation. So the teacher became very angry, and he said, Ashraf Ali, which is the first name of Mawlana Shaitani, today you think you're nothing because you're in front of your teachers, but tomorrow there will only be you, and you will represent knowledge in this country. And in fact, he became one of the greatest ulama of all of India. So I mean, this was the way that people used to think about themselves. They had a deep, deep degree of humility. And that's essentially what is important when we're traveling on this path. Now, we often think, and it's very, very dangerous, that, oh, well, we come to the masjid and look at all those bad Muslims who don't come. Right? Or, you know, we follow the Sharia and look at all those people who don't follow the Sharia. So we start putting ourselves above other people. The second you do that, you've destroyed your progress. You have destroyed your progress. You will not move further. You have to realize that the reason why you come to the masjid is because you are one of the most diseased people in the community. And you actually require extra treatment. Now, if somebody has to be checked into the ICU, do they brag to everybody and say, hey, look, I got to go to the ICU? No. Because they know that that's actually the place where they put the worst of all patients. Exactly the same in our scenario. When we have the tawfiq to do zikr, to implement the sharia, to follow the sunnah, to come to the masjid, it's only because we are the most diseased out of all the community. And it's amazing that certain people come into the masjid once a year, for example, Laylatul Qadr, or for Eid, and they come with tears, and they come with true repentance. And we're here every single day, and we come regularly, we have a habit of attending the masjid, and we're empty. We can't even drop a tear because we're so used to it, and we're so used to thinking how great we are, and how we're actually helping Islam by coming to the masjid. But it's actually completely opposite. We are literally within the community, we are the most diseased and despicable. And so we are the ones who are in most need of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we're in the masjid. We are no better than anybody out there. In fact, we are taught, within tasawwuf, we are taught that even the kafir has a possibility of being better than us. Why? Because at any moment he may make a true tawbah and earn the pleasure of Allah. And we're caught in the rut of our daily lives and we've assumed our Islam. So even the kafir has the potential to be better than us. So we should consider every Muslim better than us in reality, and every kafir potentially better than us, in the sense that they can accept this deen at any moment and earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasures in ways that we may not be able to. This is humility. And this is the thing that you have to inculcate within your heart if you aim to progress on this path. There is no way, if you carry the burden of pride, the weight of pride, it will weigh you down and you will not move forward. So you have to begin to realize this. When you come to the masjid, come as a servant. Come as someone who is seeking the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't do anybody a favor by coming to the masjid. We don't increase the number of people in the masjid. This masjid is loaded with angels and we can't see them to the end of the earth. When this masjid, the Adhan, is called, this masjid is so full that none of us can appreciate it. Because the jinn and the angels and all those people have already filled it. They're already praising Allah. Allah has all the people He needs to praise Him. There are angels sitting from the beginning of time till the end of time. We will never stop praising Allah. We can never even do what one of those angels would do. If we all sat together from now till the end of our lives, we would not equal the amount of zikr that a single angel does. So it's actually us who are in need of being in the masjid, not the masjid that needs us. And so we should really, really understand this. It's not, you know, the world that needs us, in the sense that now we're there, we're going to save the world, we're going to guide the world towards truth. We are all in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At any moment, He can take us and He can change our direction and take us away from Him, and at any moment He can decide to bring us closer to Him as well. So we should always be humble in the path of Allah, with creation, with one another, even with animals. On one occasion, Maulana Rumi was actually walking with a group of his students. As they were walking, there came a place where the street narrowed sufficiently. And there was actually a dog sleeping on that street. So Maulana Rumi, he actually made his whole jamaat wait until that dog woke up before they crossed that path, because he did not want to assume that they were better than that dog and they deserved to pass while the dog did not deserve to sleep. This is the humility that they used to teach. On another occasion, it was raining. Maulana Rumi was trying to cross a path, and there was a dog that was trying to cross the same way. He saw the dog, and there was actually a puddle of mud there. He saw the dog, and he thought, if I walk in the puddle of mud, my clothes will become dirty. If the dog walks in the puddle of mud, he's already dirty, so it doesn't make a difference. So I should walk on the street, and I should force the dog to walk in the puddle of mud. But all of a sudden in his mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the idea that if the dog walks in the mud, and he walks on, if he were to walk on the in the mud, and the dog were to walk on the street, his clothes would become dirty, and he could wash them later. But if he walked on the street, and the dog walked in the mud, then his heart would become soiled with pride because he thought he was better than a dog, and that cannot be washed with water later on. That takes years of effort to remove. So that idea came in his head that actually the dog is better than him, or at least equivalent to him, and so he shouldn't force the dog to walk in the mud. So later on that night, he actually cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that it took a dog to teach him the reality of humility. So this was the history of our ulama and mashayikh. They even considered the dog better than themselves. Why? Because on one occasion, there was a woman, and we know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a woman took a shoe, and she filled it with water, and she gave water to a dog, and because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave that person, and entered that person into Jannah. So even a dog can become an excuse to get somebody into Jannah. This is the reality of our state. We are completely dependent on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should never think ourselves better than anyone, any way, shape, or form. And we should always realize that the only thing that differentiates from us from others is the fact that we are servants of Allah. And so we should act like servants. And so we should, just like a servant would treat their guests, all of these people out in the world, these are the creation of Allah. These are Allah's creation. Looking at them as Allah's creation, we should treat them as if they are our guests. We are the servants. Like somebody, you're a servant in a house. And somebody comes knocking on the door, you will take that person from the door, no matter who it is, and you will treat them properly because they are coming to visit the king of that house. But all of this creation are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as his servant, it becomes your role to serve those people day and night. So actually, one of the principles of tasawwuf is that you serve people by day and you serve Allah by night. That's exactly what the Prophet did. You look at their day, it was full of visiting the sick, helping the poor, helping people in need, etc. And at the night, they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. So that's actually an essential principle as well. That you serve people by day and you serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by night in the sense of with worship. And this is exactly what you find in all of the Prophets of this deen. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to inculcate humility and to remove pride from within our hearts.